Hi, everyone. This is Dawn Clem, and you are on my podcast, Milkweed and Monarchs. Today, I'm going to share another patient story with you. I hope you enjoy it. I was working in the clinic, and a patient came in for her post-operative appointment. But it wasn't the usual post-operative brain tumor appointment. She did have a tumor, but the tumor was in her spine. So I really didn't know what any of that meant at the time. But as usual, they're like, well, we're going to send the navigator in so you can get to know her because you're going to be going through treatment. So both the neuro-oncologist and the neurosurgeon had seen her, and then it was my turn to go in. I will never forget my first meeting with her. When I walked in the room, she was standing up. She wasn't sitting down, and she was holding a baby. The baby was probably 3 months old, not much older than that, barefoot. I remember that. I don't know, it just stuck out in my mind. There was no stroller present in the room. There was no infant carrier. There was nothing. It was just her holding onto this baby standing up. And that kind of struck a chord with me right away. I was like, huh, what is going on here? What, this is going to be a different appointment. I can tell right now. So I introduced myself to her and I had her sit down. Her name was Sierra. She was 37 years old. She was so beautiful. She was really a beautiful girl. And she was slender and tall. Of course, everybody's tall to me. I'm only, 5'1" and a half at the most. And so anybody over, 5'4", I consider tall. But she was really like 5'7", 5'8". She was tall. And she sat down and I introduced myself. I talked to her a little bit. I said, you're going to be going through treatment. I haven't really gotten your diagnosis yet. I know they talked, the physicians have met with you, but I will need to go back and hear what they have to say. But I just wanted to introduce myself to you first and let you know I'm going to be your point of contact. She was so sweet. She was so just a simple, plain, beautiful young girl, mother of a beautiful baby girl. So that was really my quick introduction to Sierra. I go out of the room and the medical assistant's going to go in, get her vital signs, and then make her next appointment. And I come up the hallway and I round the corner into the medical hallway where all the physicians, surgeons, and medical assistants and navigators are sitting. And I see the neurosurgeon and the neuro-oncologist kind of standing up at the neurosurgeon's desk and they're kind of whispering a little bit, which was unusual. The neurosurgeon had a booming voice. He's similar to me. When you're a little shorter, you're louder, I think. Like, make sure people know where you are. So, but they were not talking loudly at all. They were talking, and you could tell that they were, that it was something really serious, that they were deeply engrossed in something. So I walked up to him and I said, so what is the care plan for Sierra? What's going on here? I know she had a spinal tumor. They go, Dawn, we're pretty sure it's going to be a glioblastoma spinal tumor. So all of the tumors that we would normally see were brain tumors, but there are occasions when a glioblastoma presents itself in the spinal cord. I had never heard of it before in my life, and they said it's very, very rare. And they said it's definitely terminal, and she doesn't have much time to live. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it's hard enough to deal with patients that have terminal brain cancer. I don't care how old you are. But I think what got me the most is that she was this young mother holding a baby. That's what really put the twist on it for me. They said, yeah, we haven't gotten the final pathology back, but it's not looking good. We got the preliminary. So I was like, okay. They said she's going to be coming back in a week, and then we're going to talk about her plan of care. But we did tell her when we met with her that this does not look good. This is not something that's got a good outcome, and you might want to bring your family with you at your next appointment. So a week passes, the results come back. Sure enough, she has a glioblastoma of her spinal column. And she probably isn't looking for a year to live, more like months. She was going to go through the standard treatment, though. She would still be on the oral chemotherapy, and she would have radiation, but the radiation would be to her back. So we made all the next week she comes in, she's with the father of her baby. They were not married. And then I think her two other children were there too. So she had been married previously. She had two children, and I want to say that they were like 11 and 12. And her mom was helping her out, and she had a sister too. So everybody was in the room when I went in to talk to her about treatment and the treatment plan and go over chemotherapy with her and how I would be going with her to every appointment. The father of her baby was very involved. It was obvious that he was madly in love with her and the baby. And he actually told me the story how they met. He said he had been sitting on his front porch, and she happens to be a runner. If you would have known her, you would know. She looked just like a gazelle. I mean, that's a perfect description of her. Tall and thin, gangly legs. I could just see her as a runner. So she just happened to be running by his house. And he decided to take the first step and talk to her. And he said, honestly, Dawn, it was just love at first sight. So they started dating. And then she ended up getting pregnant. He was 52. She was 37. But honestly, it didn't make a bit of difference. It was obvious that he was madly in love with her and she was madly in love with him. That baby was definitely going to be loved. So I go over all the treatment with her and I say, I'm going to be coming to follow you when you go through radiation. You're going to have this 4-week period off right now, but you'll be going down there to get mapped in radiation so they know exactly where to have send the beam to that tumor. And this gives me time to order your chemotherapy so that we get it delivered to your house prior to you starting your radiation. So we went over all of those things. I got to know all the family. Everybody got my card. I knew that I was going to hear from them if they needed something. The month went by. We're all on target, and she's ready to start treatment. She's doing pretty good. So I start meeting her down in radiation. And I usually would go once a week to see my patients down there. I tried to time it according to, you know, maybe there would be like 3 or 4 on the same day. But that didn't happen that often. So then I made it a habit of just going back and forth from clinic to radiation. I didn't care. It's good for me to get my steps in, right? So I met her there, and things were going pretty good. Yeah, they were going pretty good, better than I thought. And got her through the first couple weeks of treatment. She has my phone number. The husband, or the close to being husband, let's put it that way, has my phone number. So I know that they can call me if they need anything from me. And I'm starting to take a deep breath thinking, okay, maybe this isn't going to be as bad as the surgeon and the neuro-oncologist thought it was going to be. Maybe I'm going to be able to get her through this first 6 weeks of treatment, and we'll be able to have a little time off and see where we go from there. So I'm starting to breathe a little bit easier. She's tolerating it well. She's young, and things seem to be going pretty good. So it's about a month into it. I'm sitting at my desk at the oncology clinic, and my phone rings, and it's one of the it's the manager of the radiation department. She says, "Dawn, we have Sierra down here for treatment, but something isn't right." I go, "What do you mean something isn't right?" "Something isn't right about her. I think you should come down and put your eyes on her and see if there's something going on. We don't know what it is, but you know her, so we're going to leave it up to you." So I'm like, okay. So I get down there. She's in the, she's not even back in the treatment area. She's sitting in the waiting room. And right away, I'm thinking, what is going on here? Because she was in a pair of like fuzzy pajamas. And that's not normally how she would show up to clinic. Usually she would, you know, at least have shorts or a little dress or something on. But she was still in her pajamas and a t-shirt. And I remember thinking, this right there is a red flag to me that something isn't right. So I walk up to her. I go, hi, Sierra. How are you doing? And she just smiles at me, and it's kind of like a blank stare. I go, do you know who I am? Yes, you know, she nods her head up and down. What's my name? She could not tell me what my name is, but you know who I am? Yeah, you're the nurse that helps me. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, there's so many people you meet when you're going through treatment. So I start asking her a bunch of mini status questions to see what her mini mental status questions to see what her mental state is. Like, who's the president of the United States? She had no idea. What month are we in? No clue. Do you know what the date is? No. Why are you wearing your pajamas? You know, those kind of things. Could not answer one single question. None of the questions were right. Zero question was right. I'm like, what? I go over to the nurse manager. I go, something isn't right here. She's definitely confused. I think she's going to have to be seen in the emergency room. And she's like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. I remember at the time I was kind of annoyed because I'm like, why are you calling the navigator out of clinic to come and evaluate a patient? You're all nurses and technicians down there. You should be able to tell me if something's not right with her, you know? They see the patient daily down there. I only see him once a week, so that they would have radiation 5 days a week. So I was like, I was annoyed. Now, okay, that's probably not a good way to be, but you're calling me out of clinic to come and take care of a patient. I just didn't get that. So anyhow, I go, we're going to go over to the hospital. I'm going to wheel you over to the hospital. I just want to have you evaluated. She said, okay, that sounds fine to me. Very laid back. You would have never even known. The only problem is she couldn't answer any questions. So I get her over to the emergency room. I tell them what's going on. And they're like, okay. I said, I'm going to go back to the clinic. I'm going to let the surgeon know. I'm going to have him put some orders in. Maybe we can do an MRI on her and see if there's a change in condition or whatever. And the ER person was like, yeah, that's a great idea. I said, in the meantime, I'm going to call her significant other and see if he knows that there's a change in condition in her. Has he noticed anything? And they said, yeah, that's another good idea. So I said, I'll call you once I get back to the clinic and get some of these pieces figured out. And I'll have the neurosurgeon put orders in so that you can, you know, and they'll work with the ER physician too. So they're like, yeah, that sounds good. Great. So I hightail it back to the clinic. And I get up there and I'm telling the neurosurgeon about what's going on. He goes, oh, Dawn, this does not sound good. She's barely been in there for treatment. I said, I know. I had to take her over there. She needs to be evaluated mentally. She is not with it. Something is going on. He says, okay, I'll talk to the ER and then you talk to the significant other and see if you can find something out. So I call him on the phone to let him know that I've taken her down to the emergency room. And I said, did you notice anything different with her? He said, it was really funny, Dawn, because over the weekend we were in bed and all of a sudden I heard a pop. I go, what do you mean he heard a pop? He said, yeah, like something had burst. And then after that, she was kind of confused. So I said, this happened on the weekend? Really? He said, yes. But she seemed okay. I mean, she wasn't complaining of pain or anything. That part was true. She didn't have any complaints at all. But she did not. I said, she was so confused. He said, yeah, I just thought maybe that was the treatment. I said, you know, that's why we gave you our card. Because we want you to call when things like this come up. He says, yes, I probably should have taken her in. I'm really sorry I didn't. And I'm like, of course you are. Don't worry about it. This is just a lesson for all of us that we need to be on top of these kind of things. And he said, yeah, going forward, I will definitely be much more aware of things. This is all new to me. And I said, I totally understand that. I really, really do. So in the meantime, I go back to see the neurosurgeon and just tell him about the conversation. He's just like, uh-oh. And I go, well, what do you think it is? He says, I don't know. It doesn't sound good, Dawn. It really doesn't sound good at all. But let's see what we can, you know, find out. So over the course of probably the next few days, she had an MRI. She was now in intensive care. She had a major head bleed. And so they were trying to, and that, you know, some of this can happen from that tumor being in the place that it's in and putting pressure in the spinal cord, which backs up. I mean, I don't know if all of this is true, but this is kind of the explanation that they were giving me. And that's why they said that it's really precarious to even have a terminal tumor in your spinal column like that. So I was just devastated. And I was praying. All I could think about was that little baby. And her too. I mean, she was so free and easy. And just defining her as a gazelle, because I could see her just running down the streets of the small town where they live. I could see how he would be enamored by her, how they ended up getting together, how much they really cared about each other, and how this baby came into being. All of that was just like flashing in front of me while I'm worrying about her, wondering what this outcome is going to be. So in probably 3 days, so this might have been like on a Thursday, Friday, she was in intensive care over the weekend. And then on the Monday or Tuesday the following week, she ended up dying. It was devastating. It was so devastating. All of us knew the outcome wasn't going to be good, but we didn't feel like we had enough time to really even try to make an impact. It happened so fast. She had surgery. She had 4 weeks off. She started chemotherapy, and like within 2 weeks, she was in the hospital, in intensive care unit, and then she passed away. If you look back, when I look back now, I think, you know, God always has a bigger plan, right? And we don't understand it. And she was not going to have to suffer. And she would have suffered if she continued to live and go through treatment. We don't even know if she would have been paralyzed. We don't know how long she would have lived anyway. But the outcome that came from it was that baby, right? So the children from her first marriage, I actually think lived with her husband and her ex-husband and his new wife. And now they had this baby. And the father of this baby was 52. And he's like, oh my God, you know, he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do here? And I was trying to explain. I said, I know it's overwhelming, but you do still have her family for support, and you have family, and you live in a small town. You're going to be surrounded by people that care about this baby and you. And, you know, I'm trying to give him a pep talk on, you can raise her. I think you can do it. You owe it to Sierra. I didn't say that, though. In my mind, I was thinking it. You can't put the guilt on somebody like that. He was already undergoing grief. But in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, this would be good for, she would want her to be with you. She would want her to be with you. I was coming from the aspect of, I think you could do it. He was a great guy. He absolutely loved her. He was a hard worker. I just felt like he would be, if anybody could take care of somebody, he would be the one to do it. So he says, I have a lot to think about. And I'm like, I know you do. I completely understand that. And it was probably maybe a month later, I think, that I ended up hearing from the whole entire family. Everybody weighed in. And we actually had like a little family meeting, which is kind of unusual to have a meeting after the person has already passed away. You're trying hard to, you know, help them move forward, but on the other hand, you want to be able to give them the tools that they need. So they kind of came in, not they kind of, they did come in, and we had like a little mini family session together with them. Me and the children, the significant other, the ex-husband, the new spouse. And all of them, along with me, had this open discussion on what was going to be best for the baby. And actually, it turned out to be such a great, great conversation. I was so impressed that they all came together and to the table, knowing that they had to come up with the right decision for the baby, and that it wasn't going to be this big fight over what was going to happen to her. And when they left that day, I felt like, wow, I wish it that we could all get along like that. I mean, I don't know now how it's going for her. I have no idea. But I do know that day, people who cared and loved that baby came together and were willing to work out a plan to make sure that she was going to be loved and cared for by everyone. Her siblings, her father, her stepfather, and stepmother. They were all involved. And her grandma was there too, Sierra's mom. And it was a really great thing. I have thought about her so much. There's patients that impact you, and then there's patients who you think about, but you can let them go. She's one that I just couldn't get beyond. I just couldn't get beyond. And it was because she had so much to live for. And she was finally going to be happy. You know what I mean? Of course, that's probably me making up a fairy tale ending. But that is what I was thinking. So I hope, and I feel like she is on the other side, and she's looking down on her daughter, and her daughter is being raised in a community of love. That was kind of a painful story to tell, but it had an ending that seems so good. I wanted to share it with all of you. I hope you got some takeaways from it. When the challenges are tough, we can pull together. And unity is a good thing. Until the next time.